Asking a question, how many of you here today have children that are either grown or still at home? Raise your hand.
Both.
All right, looks like just about everybody here has children. All right, that's what we're going to be considering in this class here today is a word to the wise from Proverbs about children. I'd like you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 23. We're going to take a look at verses 24 and 25. Proverbs 23, 24, and 25. It says, "The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice." Now, how many of you agree with this verse? The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. And, you know, isn't that a goal that we can have? And how many of you would like for this to be true of your own children? You know, I think that is something that we all would like to have. Are children a blessing from God or are they a curse from God? They're definitely a blessing. Psalms chapter 127, verses 3 through 5 says, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate." So, unlike what our society is pushing on us about children, children are not a curse. They're a blessing. And they are a reward from God. And as we go into this class here today, I definitely feel unqualified to be teaching this. Because I'm just starting out, got kids of my own, and I've got a long ways to go. So thankfully, on subjects like this, we can go to God's Word and look at what God's Word has to say, and that's what we're going to be focusing on here today. So what can we learn from Proverbs about children? Well, first of all, we can learn that children need to be taught. In Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, it says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity." And it's important for us as parents to teach our children, isn't it? And throughout the book of Proverbs, we find Solomon addressing his son and giving him advice to help him in his life. But what do we need to teach our children? Well, we need to teach them, bad companions corrupt good. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Solomon would have done good to follow his advice here, because the Bible tells us that he had trouble with this. His wives, his many wives, led him astray. If you look here in Proverbs chapter 1, starting in verse 10, it says, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not give in to them. If they say, 'Come along with us, let's lie in wait for someone's blood, let's waylay some harmless soul, let's swallow them alive like the grave, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We will get all sorts of valuable things and fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot with us, and we will share a common purse. My son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths.'" As parents, do we need to teach our children, bad will corrupt good? Does that start at a young age? Do we need to be consistent with that? Now, a lot of times when we think about bad corrupting good, and you think of the New Testament verse, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." And a lot of times we think of friends, and that's true. With their friends, we need to make sure we limit them. And I know my parents. And a lot of this class I'm teaching is things that my parents taught me. So just so everybody knows that, I'll give them a lot of the credit, because they've instilled in me a lot of good things. So I'm trying to pass that on to my kids. So, yep, it is. But one thing that they did that I can remember is that they wouldn't let us just go off to any old kid's house.
Amen.
Now, occasionally they might have, but they tried to encourage us to always just have kids come to our house. And that way they could control the environment. You know, I think that's a good thing for us to do with our kids. But beyond friends, I think we need to understand something. Times have changed a little bit, even in my lifetime, to where now we've got computers, we've got internet. That is a very, to me, scary thing. And we've got internet now where kids get it on their phones, and it's access all the time. Now, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. You're the parents. Your kids don't have to have access to that. You can limit it. There's nothing anywhere that says kids have to have internet. There's nothing that even says kids have to have a phone. I grew up without one, didn't you? Yeah. And I'm not saying that it's a sin for them to have one, because I think it is a handy thing for them to be able to make phone calls and tell you where they're at or whatever. But I tell you what, a lot of kids are getting in trouble with their phones. I know they're in the school system in Oshkosh. They banned them because kids were passing around pictures of other kids. But you see, we've got to make sure that as times change, that we kind of shift with the times, and not in a bad way, but in a good way, and we stay aware of what's going on. And we realize, you know what, I'm still a parent here. If my kids get on the internet, I can be right there with them, and I can make sure that what they're on, I know the exact site that they're on, and I know what they're doing there, and that's it. No hanky-panky going on, no messing around in there. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of this other stuff that goes on the internet that just needs to be cut out. Because it's influencing our young people for bad. And Proverbs tells us we need to teach our young people to be aware that bad corrupts good. It always has. It always will. We need to teach our young people that. We also need to teach our children that they need to listen to God's Word. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27 says, "Stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." Proverbs 28, verse 7 says, "He who keeps the law is a discerning son, but a companion of gluttons disgraces his father." Now we need to teach our kids from a very young age, God's Word is something you've got to pay attention to. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Are you teaching your kids that right now? Or do you teach them to have more respect for sports figures and all these other guys out there instead of having some respect for this right here? We need to teach them to open up God's Word and pay attention to it. Amen. And follow it. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." This right here is what's going to get in and help your kids make it to heaven. But we need to teach them God's Word, not our think-sos, not what we think about it. You need to take them and show them, here is what God says. Now, part of the reason why I'm firm on that is because as my kids are getting older, they're starting to ask me some questions. They're saying, "Dad, where is that?" You know what's causing me to have to do? Let me find that for you. You know what I found? There's a few things that I've been telling them that I can't find here. And I can't find a good spot to show them. And so I've had to say, okay, if I can't find it here, this is what is going to get me to heaven. This is what's going to get them to heaven. I better stick to this. Because if I teach them, well, you just follow what I say, son, what happens when I die? What happens if I fall away? Guess what happens to them? Poof, off they go too. If I teach them to follow this and to stick on God's Word, guess what happens no matter what? They're going to follow this. And you know, I think we've got to be careful that we don't end up and teach our children too much of our own opinions and think-sos instead of just showing them, here's what God's Word says. Follow it. If we don't see, if our kids don't see us respecting God's Word, if they don't see us following God's Word, do you think they're going to follow God's Word? They're not. Second thing we can learn from Proverbs about children, children definitely need discipline. And like I said before, I'm a young guy, and I've got a young family, and I'm working on this. So my kids are a work in progress. We've got a long ways to go with our kids. But Proverbs has a lot to say about children needing discipline, doesn't it? Why do children need discipline? Well, Proverbs tells us they have folly bound up in their heart. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15 says, folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him. Proverbs 19, verse 18 says, discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. Proverbs 29, verse 15 says, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. We need to discipline our kids, don't we? You know, I have parents, dad and mom, even a grandma, that disciplined me and got after me and made sure that I towed the mark. And I'm thankful that they did that. And I'm trying to do that with my kids now. And discipline them. Now, as we discipline our children do need to know that they're loved. Now, Proverbs chapter 13, verse 24 says, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. And I think we need to approach discipline carefully. And being disciplined by my mom and dad as I grew up, I knew that they loved me. But discipline should not be done in a way where you're just angry and you're just mad, and so you just grab them and off you go and you take out all your frustrations for the last day or the last 10 days or however many days on your little kid. Because you're mad. Maybe you're mad at everybody else, and maybe you're mad at your kid. And you just take it out on them. That's not loving discipline. And, you know, I can remember Dad taking us aside and making sure before we ever got spanked, we knew what we did wrong to begin with. And then he spanked us. After we were done, he made sure we were done crying, gave us a hug. Sometimes he had us pray, and it was over. And when we walked out of that bathroom or wherever we were at, that was it. It had been taken care of. We walked out, we knew he loved us, and it didn't continue on, it didn't carry on, it was over. And you know, just being mad, and just getting mad at your kid, and then hauling off and spanking them or doing whatever form of discipline you're doing, I think spank is the best way because it's the Bible way. I mean, that's what the Bible says. Spank your kids. Do that. It works. Timeouts do not work. That's exactly right. We had a kid that his parents would stick him in timeout. I think I've told this before. And he'd sit in the corner and spit while he's sitting there in timeout. Spit on the wall. You know, it was doing him a lot of good to sit in there. And he grew up, had all kinds of problems, still has all kinds of problems. But they didn't discipline him right. But, you know, discipline needs to be done in a loving way. And, you know, I think as adults, we need to make sure, you know, as you're parenting, something Shiloh and I have tried to do is that if one of us is upset, because sometimes your kids can make you pretty upset, and you can get, you can sometimes even get to the point you're almost out of control. And you need to recognize that and say, you know what, here, you take care of this discipline because I'm too upset right now. And hand it off to your spouse. They're calm. They're, you know, maybe not involved in the situation. Let them take care of it. You tell them what's gone on, and you walk away, and they can take care of it. You can come back, and and let your kids know that you love them, but that way you're not just spanking them because you're mad. I think there's a danger in that. We've got to be careful that we don't do that. Another reason children need discipline is so that we can have peace. Proverbs 29, verse 17 says, "Discipline your son, and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul." I don't know. Those of you that have kids that have disciplined them, do they bring you peace? It works. And so, like I said, I'm on the younger side of this, working. I want that to, that's my goal. I want them to bring me peace. And so I'm going to do my best, and we're going to do our best to keep disciplining. Another reason children need discipline, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12 says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those He loves as a father the son He delights in." We need to teach our kids to accept discipline from us, because they are someday going to be disciplined by God. If you don't teach them to accept discipline, they're never going to recognize the discipline from God. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. I'll just give you that verse and you can look it up sometime. But it definitely talks about us as adults being disciplined by God. And we need to accept discipline from... children need to learn to accept it from their parents. But another thing that we can learn from Proverbs about children, fearing the Lord will give our children a refuge. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 26, if you want to turn there. Proverbs 14, 26. Some of these I'm just mentioning real quickly and reading them because of I want to get through quite a few different verses. So Proverbs 14, 26 says, "He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress, and for his children it will be a refuge." Now, I found that verse very interesting. He who fears the Lord has a secure fortress for himself, but then also his children have a refuge in his fearing the Lord. I don't know, that picture in my mind is a neat picture there. So if I fear the Lord and I love God, then my kids will always have a place that they can run to for safety. They'll have a refuge. What's a refuge? A place you can go for protection? A place that you can go for safety? A place where you can go and not get shot? That's what I think of because I hunt. And they're in Garden County. We have a Garden County refuge. And during the middle of hunt season, they shut that river down. You can't hunt on the river. Well, birds, deer, anything go in there, they're safe as long as they stay within 100 yards of that river. They get out of that 101 yards, they can get shot. But you see, you can be a secure fortress, a refuge for your children. How does fearing the Lord give our children a refuge? Well, we will be a place where they can always find Christ. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but who lives in me?" Paul said, "Christ lives in me." Christ living in me. So my kids should always be able to come to me, and what should they always be able to find? Jesus Christ. That's a refuge, isn't it? How does fearing the Lord give our children a refuge? We will be a place where they can always find love. Is God love? Yes. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." Verse 11 says, "Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." Verse 19 says, "We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And He has given us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother." Now, sometimes I feel like in the church, we de-emphasize love because in the denominational world, they emphasize love and overemphasize love. But we can de-emphasize love. Our children need to be able to come to us and find love. God is love. They should be able to always find that with us. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we know what verses 4 through 7 says, but sometimes we ignore verses 1 through 3. He says there, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." And then it goes on to say in verse 2, if I have the gift of prophecy and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, he says in verse 3, and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. And I want to tell you something. If you do all this stuff for the Lord, but you really don't have love in your heart, you've gained nothing. Because that's what Paul just says there. That's what he's talking about having the gift of prophecy and fathoming all mysteries and being able to move mountains with your faith. But you don't have love? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Our children should always be able to come to us and find love. They should also always be able to come to us, and as they find this secure place of refuge, they should find a place where they can find forgiveness. Now, I am always moved when I read Luke chapter 15 and I read the story of the prodigal son. And when I read that story and you see what that son did to his parents, it was absolutely awful. Horrendous. And we know what the prodigal son did. He went and squandered all that money and all that inheritance or whatever that his dad had given him. And he goes out there and he lives a wild life and he's awful. But he comes back. And when he comes back, what was his attitude when he came back? He said, I don't even want to. I'm so horrible, I can't even be your son. Can I just be a servant? That was what he was thinking. That's what he was thinking. All right? The dad didn't know that was what he was thinking, though. Did he?
No.
No, you read the story. He didn't know he was thinking that. And when the son's coming home, and I picture this in my mind. Here the son is walking on the dirt road coming toward home. And in my mind, I picture it being in the country because I'm kind of a country guy. And, you know, he's coming toward the ranch, coming toward the farm. And who's out there waiting for him? And who's watching for him? And who's the first one to notice that he's coming? There's his dad. And what's his dad do? He runs out there. And he's got his arms wide open. And he says, come back, son. Not as a servant. Not holding all that stuff against him. But he says, come back. I love you. I want to forgive you. You know, I want to ask you, do your kids know that they can always come to you and find forgiveness? I'm thankful I serve a God that I know I can always run to and find forgiveness. And I hope and pray that for my kids, I can be a place, a refuge, a place of safety, where there's one place in this world they can come to and they know Dad and Mom will be there and they'll forgive them. Sometimes I've seen it just the opposite. That's not what the Bible says we should be. We're to be a place of refuge for our kids. What can we learn from Proverbs about children? Well, moving on, Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6. Proverbs 17, verse 6, it says, children's children are a crown to the aged, and parents are the pride of their children. Children's children are a crown to the aged. How can our children's children be a crown to the aged? You know, when you think about, if your kids choose to love the Lord and get converted, is that going to be a crown to the aged to have your kids loving God? Wow, what a blessing that would be. But you know, as parents, as we work with our kids and try to get them to follow what Matthew 22, verse 37 says, where it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Mark chapter 12, verse 30 says, all your strength. I think we need to make sure that we don't push our kids into a relationship with God too quick. I'm very thankful for my parents that did not do that. They were very good at holding us back as far as making sure that we were ready to make that commitment and making sure we understood it was an adult responsibility. So I think that's important for us to do that. But then that verse also says that parents are the pride of their children. And as a parent, we can be the pride of our children. Now, how can we be the pride of our children as we grow older and our kids grow older? How can we be the pride of our children? Well, if you keep growing in your relationship with God, is that going to help your kids be able to be proud of you? Because you're still faithful and you still love the Lord. We've got to make sure all of us keep working on our relationship with God no matter how old we are. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 2 says, "When pride comes, then comes disgrace, but with humility comes wisdom." And you know, I think sometimes as we get older, we can get proud and we can forget that I need to be working on my relationship with God still. I don't know it all. I don't have it all figured out. I've got a long ways to go. Isn't that the attitude we find of Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14? He says, "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." He says, "I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it." I don't consider myself to be there yet. Paul didn't. If Paul didn't, I don't think I should ever. None of us should. We've got to keep on working. Keep on growing in our relationship with God. And then right along with that, keep growing in our relationship with our children. Then the last thing I want to mention, we will leave something behind for our children. And we can learn that from Proverbs about children. We're going to leave something behind. Proverbs 13, verse 22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous." You will leave something behind for your kids. What are you going to leave behind? Are you going to leave behind a good example? Are you going to leave behind a life that you did love God? Or are you going to leave behind a bunch of unresolved issues, things that you have said that have become between you and your family? And I've noticed something about families. Families tend to have problems. And it's not just my family. It's all over the place. And I want to leave you with this thought. You will leave something behind for your children. You're going to leave an inheritance behind. Are you going to leave behind a refuge and a place where they, even in the thought of you, they find a refuge? Because you took time to teach your kids and discipline your kids and love your kids. Or are you going to leave behind a big mess and a big bunch of problems and a big bunch of issues that are unresolved that you weren't willing to talk about? We don't know when we're going to die, do we? We don't. You know, this could be your last day of life today. And being there in Oshkosh, that's something I've gotten more acquainted with than I've ever been before. And that's that death is coming quick. And you're going to die, and you don't have a second chance. You can't go back and redo things. And thankfully, I've gotten to see the life of a few guys like Bill Zorn, where he left behind an excellent example for his family. He loved God himself. I can remember every Wednesday night, he'd pray for his son Scott, and he'd pray for his grandson Dustin. And he wanted them so much to become Christians. But he just kept on faithfully serving God. And I could tell when he passed away, he had taken care of his issues with his family. He was very aware that he was going to die because he had had two times I know of that he had been flown out of Oshkosh because he had such big heart trouble. But he kept praying for his kids and grandkids, and after he died, Dustin became a Christian, Scott became a Christian. And they're both trying to serve God now. But I think it goes back to his example and his life that he lived. And you know, even the little bit I knew of Bill, he was a refuge. You could go to Bill, you could talk to him. He was a great guy. Let's be that for our kids. Let's be a place where they can always find Christ and find love and forgiveness and hope. Thanks for your good attention. I'll turn it over to Wayne.